to the book of Philippians chapter number 4.
Philippians chapter number 4. Am I on, brother?
All right, Philippians chapter number 4. As we turn there tonight, I want to challenge you all again. Another thought that God has impressed upon my heart. And again, as we've been talking here the last few nights or the last Sunday and Sunday night, we've been talking about missions and missions giving and how that I believe that God wants to again use us as a church here in the next coming year to reach the gospel, getting the gospel around the world. And I pray that tonight's message will be a blessing to you as well. And it's a little bit different, and most probably have been taught from this area as well, from Philippians chapter number 4. Again, we're looking at another one of the churches that Paul was involved in, and I believe it's an encouragement to us as we really look at it tonight and glean another one of these truths that I believe that we can see tonight. And I want us to think about it's an exception to grace giving. It's an exception to grace giving as we look at it from this perspective as to how Paul is commending the church at Philippi, how they got involved in his life and helping him, and as he's going out planting churches, and it was one of the few churches that had gotten involved in his life as far as when it comes to giving and receiving. And so tonight, as we look at it, I want us to think about it and some things as being an exception, because when we think about giving, and we've been talking about how God blesses us when we give and how God uses us when we give, but also I want us to see tonight how Paul is instructing them about this blessings that they've given or they're giving and how it was to God and how he saw it, how God had used him and how God is using this church. And I believe it'll be a blessing to us tonight as well as we look at it. We talked about it. Let's read this area of scripture, and I'm just going to go back and kind of highlight some of the things that we've already talked about earlier. I want us to look at Philippians chapter number 4, and I'm going to read verse number 10. You might even think about the book of Philippians. We always think about Philippians is the book that was written, Paul said, so you can have joy in spite of circumstances. Amen? And as we said already before, the circumstances shouldn't change as to what you give to God, because if you've given to God, the circumstances shouldn't change what you've already committed to God. Because faith promise giving is trusting God to give through you that which he has placed on your heart to give. Look at verse number 10. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me have flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, thank you again for tonight. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we have tonight again to be in your house. And God, how I pray tonight that you would just meet with us again, that we might sense a truce here from this area. But Lord, that we might be encouraged, we might be strengthened from this area of scripture by the Apostle Paul. And Lord, that you might use it in a special way that we get our hearts prepped, primed, and ready to be excited about what we can do this coming year when it comes to mission. And may we sense your presence tonight amongst us. Have your willing way. May your word that comes true and speak to hearts tonight in a special way. We commend it to you. Ask your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. You all may be seated. I know when we think about this area of scripture, we think about Paul. When I say it's an exception in grace giving, it is an exception because I think one of the things that most people, when I've heard it said before, but the more I just kind of continue to read over it, is I thought about all of the things that I have talked about, and it's one of the first times that I said Sunday, as I started to preach and teach about missions and missions giving, it was the first time that I've ever been asked to speak to a church and preach on missions giving. I know Pastor has started out with preaching and teaching about it. He's going to be teaching on it again on Sunday. But if you think about all of the things that he's already talked about, why do we have a missions program? Why do we give to missions? He went through all of that because we have been commanded by God to be involved in missions. It is the outreach that God has chosen to use us to get the gospel around the world. And we saw all of these things that we talked about here Sunday morning, Sunday night. We talked about, first of all, the example. We looked at the example of this grace given as it took place in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we went on from there. We saw the example. We saw the exhortation that was given of grace and how they gave. We talked about the essentials. And I believe one of the greatest essentials of grace giving was that, first of all, they gave it themselves. And you can never give anything to God that would be a better sacrifice when it comes to giving than it's to give of yourself. If you'll be willing to give it yourself to God, believe me, he'll have your pocketbook. Amen. But if you don't give yourself to God, it's going to be a struggle. We also talked about it. Let me just back up a little bit. We looked at it from the perspective. One of the things that I believe that most Christians have a problem with when it comes to giving is they don't get, first of all, they've never gotten to where they're giving their tithe the way that they ought to. Amen. I mean, we talked about that as well, because if you're not willing to tithe, you can never give to Faith Promise Giving. I believe a Christian has to get the first thing first, and that is to make sure that you're giving your tithe. In order for you to give the tithe, to be a blessing to God, because if you're not, you're robbing God still because you're not giving him the tithe that he wants you to give. So Paul gives us the example, as we saw in 2 Corinthians. He gives us the exhortation. He gave us the essentials. But then we looked at this expression of grace giving. We talk about being expressed. He says, let every man, according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. So we can express our giving when it comes to giving to God by giving it cheerfully. God doesn't want to twist your arm. He's not going to fight with you. He's not going to fuss with you. But he wants you to give it with the right spirit, the right heart, and with the right attitude, as we saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. So that's where we were. And as we come to this chapter here, I believe it's another great example of a church that got involved in missions giving because they were supporting the what? The Apostle Paul. And Paul wanted, first of all, I believe what Paul wanted to do, you know, as I started reading this and thinking about what Paul was really pointing out, one of the things that most people think when it comes to giving and handling money, I believe it causes all kind of problems. A lot of people don't want to be confronted about giving. And Paul was one of those persons, if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he never wanted anybody to think that he was in it for the money. He was never in it for the money. And I believe most missionaries, if they would be honest with you and be honest with themselves, they're not in it for the money either, because there's nothing to be gained. If you're depending on somebody else's faith each year to support you financially, I will tell you what, you're not going to get rich doing it. Amen? You're not, because it's a struggle for them to get it in a lot of ways, and you're not going to get rich doing it. So if you're doing it as a missionary, I believe you're doing it for the glory and honor of God. And I'm not saying it just tonight that Pat Brother Scott on the back or this brother here on the back either, but I know they're not doing it for the money. And Paul was wanting to make sure that they never thought that he was in it for the money. I want you to look at it tonight. One of the things that I believe that Paul here is saying that he wants us to see. Look at verse number 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be what? Content. Look at verse y'all have to pardon me because I have forgotten my glasses. Oh, in verse, I got it in verse number 17. He was content, but he says, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. Paul wasn't in it for the money. Paul had learned some lessons along the way that he was content. He was content with what he had. He was also concerned about their giving. And he wanted them to know that it wasn't because he desired anything from them financially, but he wanted to see some fruit in their lives that would abound in their lives. And a lot of people, when you think about those two things, was I believe he's pleading his case that he was not trying to be in it for the money. And another thing here that Paul is pointing out that I want us to see tonight, too, because I believe it'd be helpful to us as a Christian. Verse number 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, that's probably one of the misunderstood Bible verse that is in the Bible when most people think about it, because they take it out of its context. And they do. And the reason why they take it out of context, when you think about what Paul is saying, Paul is not saying I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me, like most people would think that I got the strength to endure everything that's going, everything, or I can do all these things. But Paul had been given by God the strength that he needed to be content. Y'all with me? He had been given by God. He was able to do that. All the things that Paul went through in his life, he was able to say, I've been able to abound. He knew what it was like to be rich. He knew what it was like to be poor. And Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Most of us as Christians are going to have problems with being content. It's one of the hardest things for us to do. But Paul learned how to be content with whatever happened to him in his life. In other words, what he's saying, whether you give to me or not, I'm going to still be okay. Because I know what it's like to have something. And I know what it's like not to have something. And I give all the praise and honor to God, glory to God, because even through all of that, Paul still had a ministry, because he was in it not for the money. He was in it for the glory of God, and God always met every one of his needs. And so when he says, not only that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, he's saying that. But not only what he's saying, another thing that I believe is important for us to understand is that, but he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And what I want us to see tonight is Paul is saying that everybody can't say that. And a lot of people want to say that. And the people that could say that was the church at Philippi, because they were giving. And most people, God is not going to meet your needs if you're not, first of all, doing what you ought to do that he would require you to do, whether it be the tithe or whether it would be given to faith, promise, mission, giving. That can be claimed because they were doing what God would have them to do financially in supporting Paul. And most people take it out of context. We think that my God should supply all you need. God is going to meet your need if you meet these requirements. Amen? Amen. So that's the reason why I say it's an exceptional area when we think about grace giving. I want us to notice, first of all, Paul was content, but Paul was concerned that they would have fruit that would abound for the glory of God. And that ought to be every one of our lives, that we want to have fruit that would abound for the glory of God. I can't believe, when I think about all that Paul was going, he was rejoicing in the things of God. And he looked at what they were doing, or what they had did for him or wanted to do. He was rejoicing. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that at last your care for me flourished again and again. In other words, Paul is saying he was rejoicing because he saw how they were flourishing in their Christian life, because they wanted to get involved with gifts given, or getting involved with financially giving to him. And he was rejoicing in the fact that they wanted to do that. So he was continuing to show them. But also he shows us the reason. Ye were careful, but ye lacked opportunity, in verse number 10. He says, you might want to give, but you like the opportunity to give to me. And I don't know what all of those things were that Paul was saying that they like opportunity. Well, maybe it was because they didn't find anybody really they could trust to go take the money down there to them when they needed to do that. Because in those days, they didn't have the finances and the banks and all of those systems in place to take money to the missionaries or take money to Paul. So they had to find the right person that would go and do that. And Epaphroditus was that person that took the money from that church and took it to Paul and ministered to him. That's why he was with Paul. And just like we looked in 2 Corinthians, back there with Peter, but when we looked at Timothy, Titus, that Paul had sent to take the finances from the churches there at Corinth, it was the same way. So we see those things that were happening. But first of all, he had a concern that ye were careful. Paul believed that the Philippians had a desire to help him, and he was wanting to know that he was trying to encourage them, but you lacked opportunity. In other words, the circumstances around them maybe had hindered their desire to do, but they were dedicated and they continue or wanted to continue to be an exceptional giver to Paul in helping him in his ministry. And they were content, the contentment that Paul had. We saw that he had an attitude. It was very necessary for you and I, we're going on to serve the Lord in ministry, that we should have the same kind of contentment that Paul wanted them to have. He had a peaceful condition, first of all, because he had learned whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be content. Contentment is based on how much, contentment is not based on how much you possess. Contentment is based on what and where your interests and values are. And Paul's interests and values were getting the gospel around the world. And he was content with doing that. And if they wanted to be involved, he was going to be happy with it. If they didn't get involved, he was not going to bother. He was going to still go on for the glory of God and do what God would have him to do. They were persistent in these conditions. In whatsoever state I'm in, regardless of the material situation, Paul had an attitude of contentment. And this was possible because he noted early that contentment was not based on his early possessions, because he wasn't always had everything that that some might would desire to have. Paul was content with what he did have. So we see here, first of all, circumstances that were surrounding, or not the circumstance, but the continuation of their contributions to Paul, how they wanted to get involved, and he was excited about them being involved, but we see the contentment that was involved as well because he was demonstrating it to them, and I believe that was necessary for the things that God wanted to do in Paul and the things that God wanted to do through them. I can do all things through Christ, he says in verse number 13, which strengtheneth me. I have learned, he says, I have a verse number 11, I know how to abound, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound and where within all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer a need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. Contentment can adjust to any kind of condition. And let me say this to us, the church tonight. There are going to be times in your life, if you get involved in faith promise giving, that the conditions are going to change. There are going to be some things that are going to come up, and you're going to have to make up your mind whether you're going to be faithful in giving to missions or you're going to get caught up in the circumstances and not trust God to provide and meet the need of that need that may come up in your Christian life. And I believe why, when I think about contentment, most of us, as we saw it Sunday, most of us can't get involved in giving the way that we would desire and want to because we've overextended ourselves. And that's a problem. So we got to get things in order. And Paul is like most of us as Christians. I've learned in my Christian life when it comes to faith promise giving is to try to make sure that you don't get involved where you continue to overextend yourself. Because then you can give. But when you're overextended, you don't have anything to give. And I tell y'all, as we was talking about it Sunday, when I used to go to Romania, and I tell you, I it just thrills my soul that when you get it, your finances in a position that where you trust in God to provide and meet your needs, he would do that. He didn't say your greed, but he said your needs. And God will always meet your need. But what happens to most of us, we're greedy. And we want our greed met, and God don't meet your greed, God will meet your need. And he'll do that. And Paul was content. If y'all don't give, he's still going to go on for the glory of God. And if you give, you're going to have fruit that's going to abound to your account. That's right. But I'm going to still serve God. And the conditions are going to come up to where it's going to be hard for you to decide whether you're going to pay this bill or whether you're going to pay your tithe first or you're going to give to your faith promise or your grace giving or your sacrificial giving or whether you're going to do what? Pay the bill. But it may not be easy, but you're still going to have to trust God. Because if you continue by faith to trust God, he's going to meet that need that you have. Because they were sold out to giving to faith promise. And that's the kind of attitude that you're going to have when it comes to grace giving. Because God wants to give through you. And the only way that God can give through you is he has to prepare you for the use of you. That's why Paul was content, because God had prepared him, and Paul went through everything that any Christian could ever go through, and yet he was still serving God. And there were those that still wanted to be involved in Paul's mission, and that was getting the gospel and starting all of these churches that were started. And they could not claim that verse, and you can't claim that verse that God is going to meet all your need, because it doesn't say greed, it says need. And that's the difference. And that's why I say most people take it out of context, because he's not going to meet your greed. Let me say it again. He's not going to meet your greed. He's going to meet your need. Amen. So you think about it. And he was complimenting them on their giving is the third thing I want to see tonight. Look at verse number 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving what? But ye only. So Paul is commending them on their giving. In other words, Paul is complimenting them on their attitude, or because of what they were doing. He was giving them the compliment of gratitude. And let me say tonight, and I'm not saying it because the missionary is here, every missionary that gets anything from any churches ought to have a heart of gratitude. A heart of gratitude. And Paul wanted to make sure that they know that. You know, one of the most encouraging blessings that I've ever seen when it comes to missions giving is to have missionaries, not only ones that I visit with, but ones that I'm talked to, ones that I've been around, can never stop praising the churches that are involved in supporting them on the mission field. And it may not be just the monetary things, material things that you're supporting them with, but they desire your prayers as well. And as I was thinking about again tonight, I could just tell you stories after stories. I'd never forget, Brother Scott, on that one night, or one of the three times that we went from Germany and went to Romania, we stopped in a part of Germany that we had our brother Beach and his wife. We went to their house. We got there probably about 1:30 in the morning. And I'm going to tell you all something, folks. I can't even describe it. If you ever seen snow fall, they were at least as big as a silver dollar. And the snow was so beautiful. It had covered the trees. And you know how you can see a picture in a magazine? And I'm telling you, the moon was full. The moon was shining off of it, and the snow had fell on the trees. And you know how when it fall, and those leaves just kind of wall down. And I'm gonna tell you right now, I was just on a spiritual high for the glory of God to be able to see all of that. And as I said again, it's not just the material blessings that God gives you when you get involved in giving to missionaries. And here we are going to go to Romania, and we stopped over in another place in Germany for the night. And we went to the beaches, or Mr. and Mrs. Beach. And you know what she kind of reminds me of, Scott, as I thought about it today? She kind of reminds me of you. And her husband reminds me of Brother Scott. She got up, and she cooked some bread. I don't know what kind of bread it was, but it was some of the best bread I ever eat. I don't know whether it was hungry or it was hot or whatever, had butter and put some butter on it and some grape jelly. You know, if you ain't never been to North Carolina, you ain't been to heaven. Amen. And what you get in North Carolina and part of heaven is grape jelly to go with it. Amen. And I put me some grape jelly on that bread. And I tell you what, folks, it was some of the best bread. And she got up and showed us so much hospitality. You know why? Because she was there and her husband was excited about how we were involved in their missions giving. And they showed us how much they appreciated and invited us into their home. And we spent the night there. We spent the night there going, and we spent the night there coming back on one of the trips that I went in to when we went to Romania. And it was just such a blessing. And that's the way it ought to be, because Paul is commending them, or he's encouraging them because of their contributions to him. And he was showing a heart of gratitude. And we ought to have a heart of gratitude not only towards them, but they ought to have those same kind of heart of gratitude towards us, because that's what God would desire from them, and that's what God would desire from us, a heart of gratitude. And it doesn't have to be that. You don't, you know, it doesn't have to, it should be that way. I shouldn't say it don't have to be that way, but God, he was commending them for. And the excellent, he says, and look at what he says in verse number 14. He says, you have well done. He said, you have well done, notwithstanding, you have well done. Look at verse number 18. He says, but I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. What they had given to Paul, he's saying here, I'm exalting you because what you have given here is such a blessing, and it was well-pleasing to God what they were doing and being involved in it. And that's why I say it's the exception when you think about mission giving, because when you give, it is well-pleasing, and it is well-pleasing to God is the one that it ought to be pleasing as more too. And you have well done if you got involved in giving the way that they were, when we think about this church here at Philippi. Amen? It was an excellent in their giving. They had done well as Paul was commending them. And it was exceptional because, again, no other church had communicated with them, but ye only. Let me say this, first of all, it was a poor performance, but it was a prompt performance. The reason why I say it was a poor performance, because nobody else had gotten involved. But let me say this tonight, too, when it comes to missions giving. We should never look and see what other churches are doing. Because if they don't want to get involved, let that be to their doing. We ought to get involved because that's what God would have us to do. And that was the proper way of doing it. You should never look and sit and wait and see what somebody else is going to do when it comes to giving. You get involved because that's what God would have you to do. If I don't get involved, and I'm just saying this because I'm going to be involved. But if some other church don't get involved, we ought not support a missionary because some other church decides not to support another missionary. Y'all remember some weeks ago, Pastor was talking about all of these, not all of them, it was a couple of couples that had came because they were what? They were racially different. Or one was deaf. And there were churches that would not support racially different couples because they had a problem with that. But you know what? If you're serving God, it ought not matter what color they are. Because every race, every person, every boy, every girl, every child that's not been saved need to get saved. And somebody can reach somebody that you never could or never would. The deaf ministry, here's a man that's going to go, and I don't know many, again, here's another black man going to go and support or go to a deaf ministry and have a wife that was a different color. But you know what? They needed to be interpreted. And I tell you what, I understood what he was preaching. He blessed my heart, and God is going to use him. And I'm afraid a lot of churches want to get involved because if you ain't cut out of a certain status or whatever, they won't get involved with you. But you know what? If God has laid on that couple's heart or laid on those people's heart to go and care for the gospel, we ought not look at it as to what we ought not do. We ought to look at it as what we can do to help those, because there's always an exception. And Paul wanted them to know that. And that's how, again, I tell you, it's an exceptional way to look at how missions was being portrayed here and how they were involved, because Paul is pointing out all of these things. Because there were those that didn't want to, that failed, that didn't want to support Paul. And why, I don't know, because I tell you what, I can't believe that there's anybody in all of the world that has ever had the impact when it comes to mission giving than the Apostle Paul. Look at all of the churches that he started. Look at all of the ministries that are there. You and I have this book right here as a testimony, as an example of a man that was called by God on the Damascus Road who got saved. God changed his life and told him, I'm going to send you to do some things nobody ever get to do. Paul was out on that venture to do it. And when he got done, he says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight, and I finished my course. And the course that he was on and all of the things that he had to endure to get the gospel out, Paul was faithful to it. And you'll find a lot of missionaries that get out on the field, they mama call and papa sent. And they falter. And you know what? I say it again. Teresa and I were overseas for 14 years. And I seen missionaries on the mission field who gave up. Because I don't believe they were called of God to be where they were. And it's not easy. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. And I've seen missionary families fall apart and they fail. And one of the things that we've done, even here at this church, and when I say it's exceptional, when things happen, you know what? Those people are just like you and I. They can fail in their marriage. They can fail in their relationship. But we as a church still need to support them to where we can be a help to them. And one of the ways that we can support them is to continue to pray for them. We can send them cards. We can continue to pray for them. And we can support them financially so they can get back to where they need to be, whether it's coming off the field or whether it's staying on the field. And that's what we can do as a church. And we've done that in the past. So we've seen here these things that have happened in their lives, as Paul is pointing out here, that he wanted them to understand. He wants us to see as well. And he was concerned about their contributions. But because I desire to give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. That's what Paul is telling them in verse number 17. And because of that, Paul was giving the Philippians the importance of producing spiritual fruit in them. Paul wanted that fruit to abound. Paul wanted that fruit to abound. And he confirmed their contributions in verse number 18. I am full. I have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you from Philippi. Paul faithfully acknowledged his gift, their gifts. Missionaries should do likewise. When they have received the gift, they should acknowledge it as well. Notice not only that, but I believe the crux of the whole thing that I want us to see tonight is found in verse number 19. Because of their involvement, they were compensated for their giving. And God will always compensate us. God will never be broke. God always has a supply. God will always meet their need. And one of the things that I believe that he wanted them to understand, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I want to think about verse number 16, number 18. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. Just bear with me. I have received all, and I'm abound and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable to God. You know, when it comes to giving, it is a spiritual sacrifice. You think about Romans chapter number 12 and verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And it's acceptable to God that they would give what? A sacrifice, because it was a sweet smell. It had a sweet odor to it. It was different than anything else because it was a sacrifice that was given to Paul by God. Paul didn't look at what he was getting from them as so much from coming from them. Paul looked at it as a sacrifice, an odor or a sweet smell that was pleasing to God because God gave it to him. God gave it to him. And when we give through missions, it's not just us giving, because what you have to give, who gave it to you? God gave it to you. And it is a sweet sacrifice, acceptable to God, an odor of a sweet smell. And that's what Paul is talking about here. You can't claim those verses unless you are sacrificially giving to God something that is pleasing and well and acceptable to God. You can't claim verses 13. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. My God shall supply all your needs through, by who? By Christ Jesus. Everything is through him. Everything is because of him. And I think it's one of the most practical things when I think about all that Paul wants us to understand here is that it was well-pleasing to God, and God was using this church to meet his need. It wasn't so much that he was looking at it from the church, but he was looking at it from them giving it through, and it was all because of God. And because they were willing to give it, God was going to meet their need. In other words, one of the simplest ways to look at it is this way. Verse 18 says it was a sweet smell. Paul says, my God shall supply all of your need. In other words, the simplest way to look at it is the fact, if you give, God needs. God meets the need. If you give, God's going to meet the need. If you give, God is going to meet what? Meet the need. But if you don't give, don't expect the need to be met. Because you're looking for the greed.
God wants to give to the need. Because if you need to pay a bill, he's going to make sure it get paid because you're willing to give to him. But if you're not willing to give it, then you ought not expect my God, let me say it again, my God to supply all of your need because you weren't willing to give. And a lot of Christians have problems just giving the tithe. And if you're not doing it for the right reason, with the right heart, and with the right attitude, you cannot claim that verse. And that is what I believe that most Christians miss out on, is because you want God to supply your greed. And God is not in the greed supplying business. God is in the need supplying business. And that's why I thought it was so appropriate tonight. I couldn't see all I'm looking at. Amen. I appreciate y'all putting up with the struggle through it. But amen, I said glory be to God. You know what? God speaks the best when it is always the circumstances seem like they're the hardest. And God always blesses the best. And I believe, and I say it again, until the day I die, our country in the predicament that it's in, financially speaking, because they're robbing God. And a lot of Christians don't have the blessings in their lives that God wants them to have because they're robbing God, first of all, of his tithe. And then the second of all, you're not living a rejoicing life when it comes to giving because you're not giving above that. The tithe is the Lord to do with it whatever he wants to. And what he blesses you with beyond that is what he wants you to show your love for him. By taking the 90% that belongs to me, I'm going to take a portion of that and give to God. And not only is he allow me to do that, but he ain't even going to let me be in debt to it because he's going to bless me some other way, and it may not always be financially. That's how good God is. Amen. That's just how good he is. And I'm going to tell you, I can see Paul, and Paul's rejoicing because you know what? What he saw was something that every Christian ought to have, is faith in God and wanting to be involved because what they were doing was well-pleasing to God because of the attitude and the way that they were giving, it was pleasing to God. And he's going to supply your need. He says, my God, because Paul knew what it was like to go through all of the trials and all of the things that he was going to. And see, contentment will help you to go through trials, but contentment would change how you look at things when you spend your money. Let me say this. I've learned a lot of times I have to just stop myself and say, do I really need to buy that? Because you're not content with what you have. You just think about it. In some situations and some things when it comes to buying things, do you really need it? You know, and ain't no slight on the ladies, but men, we like to spend money too on our little toys. But you know, maybe you don't need to buy that other pair of shoes. You could give it to missions. Men, maybe you don't need that new toy out there. You could just give it to missions. And you'll be better rewarded by thinking about it in that way because you're content with what? With what you have. With what you have. How many of us have ever really worn out their shoes? No, most of us probably do like most of us do. We wait till they come around and collect them and we give them away because we never really worn them out. When I think about a suit or a dress or something, most of you, unless, you know, I mean, just be honest, you might gain a few pounds or whatever, you can't wear it. Maybe you're not the high school queen or we're not the high school hunk we used to be, so you may have to get rid of that. But really, most of us never really wear out what we have. We give it to somebody else or we give it to charity. But just think about it. If we could just learn to be content with some of the things that we have, we'd have something to give. And that's the lesson I believe that Paul was saying, that I want to see fruit that would abound to your account. It's not just the fruit of your giving, but the fruit in your spiritual life that he wanted to see them abound in. Because it ain't always just about giving monetarily. God wants us to grow spiritually. What did he say to the church in Corinth? See that you abound. You abound in what? In diligence, and what was those things? diligence. Somebody help me out. What were they? You gonna turn there, Joe? He said, you're bound in all of these things. 2 Corinthians should be about verse number 8, verse number 13, 12, somewhere around there. You got it, brother, sir? Verse 7. Chapter 8.
Therefore, you're bound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and all diligence, and in your love, see that you abound in this grace.
Grace also. So who wrote 2 Corinthians? Paul. He didn't want to see them just grow, and you're going to see people in heaven because of your giving, but he wanted them to grow in all these other areas as well. And not only that you grow in these areas, but he wanted to see you grow and abound in this grace given as well, but he wanted to see you grow in those other areas too. Who could be the best testament of that than him? Because he went through all of that. And that's what's really going to help you as a Christian to learn how, first of all, contentment is not in the possessions that he had. It wasn't the contentment that he had. Paul had learned to be content in every situation that he was. He knew what it was like to have a lot. He was know what it was like not to have a lot. And I can tell you, y'all hear me talk about it Sunday night. I do too. I know as well. And I know that I've been blessed beyond anything I could ever hope and dream of, a country boy growing up on a sharecropper's farm, not having anything. And I have more today than I ever would have ever thought that I would have, not just monetarily, but spiritually in my life, is to have faith in a God to heaven who saved my soul and gives me blessings every day that I don't deserve. Because that's what it's about. Because if you are abounding in those areas, it won't be hard to give. It really will not. And we learn how to be content with the things that we have. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. And that's why I say it's an exception to grace giving as to what Paul wanted them to have because of what he saw in them. In other words, he wanted them to realize that everything that they had, the blessings that they had, came from Jesus Christ. And his unchanging promises is what Paul see. First of all, in verse 17, an investment when it comes to them. You communicate it when it's a sacrifice. But it's a spiritual sacrifice that was well-pleasing to God. Paul here sees the Philippians believers as priests giving their offering as a sacrifice that was well-pleasing to God. God is going to meet your need. You met one need that I have, but my God will meet all your needs. Ain't that something? You just meet one need that he have, but my God is going to meet all your need. You give out of your poverty, but God will supply your need out of his riches in glory. God has not promised to supply your greed, as I said it already. When God's work is done in God's way for God's glory, it will not lack for God's supply when it comes to giving. Amen. Contentment comes from adequate resources. Our resources are the providence of God, the power of God, and the promises of God. These resources, Paul, sufficient for every demand of life, and they can make a significant difference in your life today if we just get a hold of those things that Paul saw in this church at Philippi with their giving. Glory to God that we could be content so that we won't need all of these things that we desire to have every day. You ain't got to have the most, you ain't got to have the designer clothes. Nobody know it anyway. But somebody else that got it. And you'll look just as good in that as you will in the designer when it comes to the glory of God. Amen? You can't take those things with, Brother White, you running the rabbit trail. No. You can't take those things with you, but there will be people in heaven because you sought to give to God. I tell you what, nothing like that, that bread that night. I still think about that sometimes. And when I saw that snow on those mountains and the snow falling, I tell you, the snow had come up to the bottom of the van. It was just that deep, but we were able to get through that night and drive to the Beach's house and enjoy fellowship with them. And they just rolled out the carpet to us and invited us into our home. And praise God. And I mean, I could just tell you story after story. You know, I'm going to tell you one other. I'm going to tell you one more. My wife said, honey, when are you going to stop? It's just good, amen. I can't see anyway. I remember. Now y'all made me forget the story I was going to tell. I tell you what, folks, it was nothing but the grace of God. I remember one time our girls had spent the summer with the Manning family in Romania. And Brother Gilberry and I, we were going back. I had come home to the States for a pastor, a Cummings daughter. One of the daughters got married. And I had the opportunity to perform the wedding. Teresa and I were the only ones there. I put it that way anyway. And we enjoyed that. And we came back, and the girls had spent the summer in Romania. And so Brother Barry was going to go with me to meet Brother Carl Manning. Now, get this. In Germany, it ain't like you can get on your phone and just call around the world. I had to call Teresa, and they had to call her in order for us to even communicate. And we get out there, and we had taken some money, and we had our cell phones, and now we're trying to link up with them. So we left that night, drove through the night, and we were supposed to meet in Budapest. That's how I knew what Budapest. Oh, Budapest is a great place. We were supposed to meet on this side of on the western side of Budapest, and at this McDonald's. And somehow, we went to the wrong McDonald's. So we get there and we waiting, and no Brother Carl Manning. And he at the other McDonald's, and there's no Ken and Brother Gilberry, because they at this other McDonald's. But we didn't know that. So we're sitting there, and about half of the day go by, and we started wondering, what in the world, why ain't he there? And he had called Germany to talk to Pastor Cummings, and it let us know that he was waiting for us and to see if something had happened. And I had called Teresa, I think, and let her know that we're waiting there for them. So now, because we're doing all this waiting, I didn't know how to get to the McDonald's that he was at. So we leave, and we're trying to get over there. Now, he leaved out, and he's trying to get over to the one that we were at. And I couldn't even imagine how our girls were just about to have a fit now. We ain't gonna never see our dad. And so now we done got lost, and we're trying to find our way back. And we out on the highway somewhere, and I don't know where we were at this time. And Brother Barry, he didn't know where we were either. Now our gas is getting low. Our phones are getting dead. And now we're driving up and down this highway, and we probably passed each other and didn't even know we were passing each other somewhere out there somewhere. And we're driving. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was by the grace of God that we made another phone call before the phone completely died. And he said, we're at exit number something, something, gave the name of the town. And if y'all can see that sign, we'll meet y'all somewhere along. And I'm going to tell you, we were driving and going on the westbound or eastbound. I don't know which bound we was going. We were bound to find him. Amen. And we finally saw him standing along the side of the road waving at us. And we pulled in off the road. And our girls had a hallelujah, praise God. We finally got our dad. And here it is now, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Folks, it's nothing but the grace of God. The grace of God. God blesses in so many ways. So many ways. And I've seen so many things happen. And that was just one of those things. And our girls, they had never spent the summer in Romania with a missionary family. I tell you what, they were glad to go home. And they were glad to see their dad. I was glad to see my daughter, too. Amen. And Brother Carl did something that most people never do. He gave us his daughter. And I thought about Julianne. She was about the same age as Julianne, and her name was Julie. And Julie came back with us and that was another time that she went. We went to Romania, and she came back from Romania with my Brother Barry and I, because Brother Carl, he said, you're the only man that I would ever trust with my daughter to take her back to Germany. And she spent a couple of weeks with us before he came back to pick her up. And Julianne reminds me of her because her name was Julianne, and she was about the same age as Julianne. Folks, it's just the grace of God. Let me just say this. You can't go wrong giving to missions. You can't, because God is going to meet your need. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. Lord, thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for the privilege that we have of prayer. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you in prayer. And God, I just pray that tonight has been an encouragement to your people about meeting their needs. And I pray that we can have some contentment in our lives, Lord, and that you're going to always compensate us for our love for you by giving you what belongs to you, first of all. But Lord, giving out of that in the abundance that you will bless it, Lord, multiply and meet our needs. I just praise you tonight, Lord, and thank you for a church that stands on the word of God. It wants to preach it, teach it, and live it. But we want to fulfill the commission that you've given us and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And may we do that, Lord, through missions giving. May we be faithful in our giving. We look forward to Sunday morning as Pastor began to
preach and teach and finalize those messages or thoughts that he may have to share as well. And we just look forward to Dr. Baldwin coming and being a blessing to us in our 13th or 14th year of missions giving here at Shining Light Baptist Church. I just praise you now and thank you for loving us, allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for our visitors. Be with Brother Scott. Now he leaves in the morning to go back to New Mexico. And I pray that you bless in his meetings as well. And do pray for our other brother, the missionary family here, as he's thriving to get support, that you give him that what you'd have him to have as well as he goes into Africa as well. And we just thank you again for being God. Thank you for our visitors. And we ask all of this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.